morning. We had a good session yesterday on Shabbos to help us catch up. We haven't succeeded as of yet, but we're in a better position. Okay, we've gone through Kuf Chav Gimel, and we've gone through half of Kuf Chav Dalet. Today's daf is... Kuf Chav. Yeah, okay. We'll make our way back. We started the Mishnah yesterday. We're going to go back. We're going to start from the Mishnah again. We're on the Kuf Chav Dalet Med Aleph, and we're starting from the Mishnah. Or Sheyesh Lav Kezayis Basar. So you have hide, and it's got a Kezayis of Basar. Now, there's two parts of the Mishnah. Right, Reisha V'Seifa. The first part of the Mishnah is dealing with there is a full Kezayis of Basar. Full Kezayis of Basar. But it's on the hide. And remember, ostensibly, we're talking about a case where you flayed. You flayed the animal, and so basically the hide is looked to be discarded. So, So if you touch a little bit of the actual flesh itself, meaning it's a little bit of the meat peeked out, so to say, and you touch that, or you touch the hair, and as we discussed already a number of times, the follicle of the hair goes through the hide and is actually being a shomer or a yad, one or the other, to the meat itself. So tummy. So you're going to be tummy. You touch nevela. So now the Mishnah goes on to the second case, which is there are two half zesim on this hide. We've discussed this case earlier in the perek. This is the actual Mishnah that discusses it, the prime location. And the Mishnah says, "Metame b'masav v'lo b'magadiv Rav Yishmael." So first, the opinion of Rav Yishmael, and Rav Yishmael says, "Look, you can touch the pieces of meat, and you're not going to become tamei. Very simply, because in order to become tamei, you need to touch a shear. The shear is a kezayis, and here it's only two pieces. Each piece constitutes a half a kezayis. So Rav Yishmael says you're not going to become tamei by touching them, but." If you pick up the hide, you're going to become tame. Why? Because when you pick up the hide, you're carrying a full kezayis of meat. Okay, it seems pretty straightforward. That's the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Kiva Omer lo b'magav v'lo b'masa, and Rabbi Kiva says no, meaning you're not going to be tame tumas maga. You're not going to be tame tumas masa as well. Now, what's the basis for Rabbi Kiva? So as we go through the Mishnah, it'll be very clear. So look, Rabbi Kiva say, look, I acknowledge the following. If I took two half kezesim and I put it on a stick, on a toothpick, and I picked up the toothpick, so then I'm picking up two halves equals a whole, and I'm carrying two halves. So Rabbi Kiva says, in that scenario, for sure I agree, you're going to be tamei. You ultimately picked up a full kezayis of mace, of nevela. So now, begs the question, if that's true, so why when I pick up the hide, and the hide has two half kezesim, why don't I view it as if he's picking up a full kezayis? And the punchline is, according to Rabbi Akiva, because the or is mevatel, meaning, you flay the animal, you're not interested in the hide as a food. Any meat attached to the hide is batel. Okay, and let's go off that last sentence that I just said. Any meat that's on the hide is batal. And basically what the Gemara is going to ask is, any meat? Any amount of meat on the hide is going to be batal? Amar ulam Rav Yochan, lo shanala, paltasu chayava, paltasu sakin, batal. So Ula makes a statement, and Ula quotes Rav Yochanan, and in the name of Rav Yochanan, it is stated that our Mishnah's discussion is only when the meat stuck to the hide, Mishum Chaya, meaning it was attacked, and there was no intent for the meat to get stuck to the hide. But if, let's say, it was flayed, paltas or sakin, and there's some meat on the hide after you flayed it, so it's going to be batel. And this statement of Rav Yochanan seems to be going on the first clause of the Mishnah. Now, the first clause of the Mishnah is talking about a scenario where there's a full kezayis. And even though there's a full kezayis, but I flayed it, and so therefore I'm not interested in that meat, and that meat now is batel. So Amale Rav Nachman Leula, Amale Rav Yochanan Afilu Katarta, Amale In, Afilu Kenafia, Amale In. So Rav Nachman cannot believe this. Meaning, Rav Nachman goes and starts questioning Ula. Would Rav Yochanan say it if there was a lot more than a kezayis worth of meat, a tarta or an afia? I don't know how much that is. Point simply is, there's a lot of meat on this hide. You want to tell me that according to Rav Yochanan, even though there's a lot of meat on the hide, but just simply because it was flayed, so therefore all that meat becomes batel? because he's not interested in the hide? And the answer that Ula gives categorically is yes. Yeah. If you flay the animal, whatever meat's left on the hide, even if it's a lot of meat, is going to be batal. So Amar Leis, Rav Nachman gives a strong response back, which is what we would expect from Rav Nachman. Halokim, Amar Li Rav Yochanan Mipum Yalot Seisin Alei. If I heard it from Rav Yochanan himself, I wouldn't listen to him. Meaning, I can't believe what you're saying, and even if you're right, and even if Rav Yochanan said it, I still wouldn't listen to him. Okay, that is a first response to Rav Nachman. Okay, a little bit on the rough edge in terms of his dismissal of Rav Yochanan. And so now, Rabbi Ami is repeating this dialogue between Ula and Rav Nachman. Amalei Mushum de Rav Nachman Chasnei de Beis Nesiahu Mizalza Beshmaita de Rav Yochanan. So the Gemara says something very interesting. Rabbi Ami's commentary, his editorial to this whole discussion is, oh, you know why Rav Nachman speaks so strongly? He's the son-in-law of the Beis Nesiah, right? In this case, we're talking about the Reish Galusa, we're talking about Eretz Yisrael. I'm not sure. Anyway, he's close to the head, and son-in-law to the head, and that's why he's mezalzel Rav Yochanan, and that's why he just simply disregards Rav Yochanan. Now, obviously, there's a lot going on over here, which I don't fully understand in terms of the politics and the inner working of what exactly makes Rav Nachman feel superior to Rav Yochanan, just simply because he's the son-in-law of the head. There's got to be more working over here, which I don't fully understand. But the point is, Rav Nachman should be a little bit more careful about how he regards statements of Rav Yochanan. Zimnan Ashkechet Yasuf Karmelei HaSeifat. Now, some people are suggesting that this discussion, this dialogue between Rav Nachman and Ula is not going on the first clause of the Mishnah, but rather than the second clause of the Mishnah. Meaning, Hayu Alav Shnei Chatzei Zeisim, if there were two half Zeisim, Okay, in the second clause of the Mishnah, we're talking about a case where there are two half zaysim. And Rabbi Shmuel says, if you pick up the hide, you're going to be tummy because you were no say. You carried a full kazayis, but if you touch the actual meat, or the hide for that matter, you're not going to be tummy. So I'm Rabbi Yochanan, El Patasu Chayav, El Patasu Sakin, Batil. This is only when the meat stuck to the hide because it was attacked by an animal. But if you flay the animal, it's going to be batal. Okay. So Amalei Mara Sefer Masnila, Amalei In. So
why the animal is not?
Because there was no intent for that meat to stick to the hide. In other words, that was an accident. That wasn't your purposely separating the hide from the meat. That was done by quote unquote natural causes.
I see you don't have any interest in.
Okay, so the assumption is that what Rabbi Shmuel would argue is that that's not necessarily true. Meaning if it's two half kazesim and they're attached to a hide and you didn't flay the animal and the meat was only there because of natural causes, you still would have an interest in it. That would be the defense of Rabbi Shmuel. So Amarle Mara Sefa Machila. So he says, did you learn the statement of Rabbi Yochanan on the second clause of the Mishnah, meaning the two half kazesim? So Amalei In, he says, yeah, I did. So he says, but every time Ula says it over, Ula is teaching it about the first statement of the Mishnah, which is obviously a much bigger chiddush, because even with a kezayis of meat on the hide, still, if that kezayis of meat was there as a result of being flayed, so it's batal. So Amalei In. So he says, yeah, you're correct. Meaning Ula learned on the first clause of the Mishnah. Amar le'Elokim, I'amar le'Yoshua ben Nun mishmei, lo tzeisin olei. So here it's even a little bit stronger. Here, if I would have heard Yoshua ben Nun say it, I still wouldn't listen. Okay? Right, he wouldn't, you notice that, he wouldn't go all the way back. Not to Moshe Rabbeinu. So, in other words, I guess what he's saying, this is just my suggestion, is that it must have been misheard. Meaning, right, Moshe would never have said something like that. That can't be. It can't be. So the Gemara says that when people came in and quoted Rav Yochanan or Ula, whichever you may have, it went back on the Reisha. Okay, the Elakashya. So the Gemara says, but I'll tell you this though. So the what's difficult is the following. It comes out now that if you're learning it on the Reisha, so basically what we're saying is that if there's a kezias of meat on the hide, and it was as a result of it being flayed, it's going to be batel. And essentially we get back to the point which Rav Nachman couldn't accept, meaning what if it's a lot of meat? What if it's just a significant amount of meat? So Ela Kasha Kida Amra Papa Bemerudad Hachanami Bemerudad. So the Gemara says, well, maybe the case is where there is a significant amount of meat, but it's really thin. Meaning that when you flay an animal, what happens? Essentially, you're not getting a lot of meat on the hide. In other words, when you flay, the whole purpose of flaying is to separate the hide from the meat. Now, there may be some meat stuck. And let's say as you flay, in other words, you're cutting with a knife, and over the course of the entire hide, you're basically leaving a thin strip of meat on the hide. The aggregate total of that meat may result in a lot of meat, meaning talking about a big hide. So you could be talking about, you take it all together, you collect it all together, you could be talking about a kezias, even more than a kezias, if there's meat over the entire surface area of the hide. And still the point being is that, yes, it becomes batel. Why? Because it's thin. What are you going to do? You're not going to... Right, right. No one's going to go back and cut it off, even though, yes, it's true. The scraps will add up to a lot. But when all said and done, it's just scraps. That's how you understand the Mishnah, and that would be the scenario in it will be batel, even if it ends up being a tremendous amount of meat, and there is a defense for Rav Yochanan and Rav Yochanan's position. Okay. Hayu alav amar bar pagel oshan olam me'achor v'aval melfan of yesh nogeh v'choz v'nogeh. Okay? There is the opinion of Rabbi Shmuel. So Rabbi Shmuel says that it's not going to become batel. So, and according to Rabbi Shmuel, right, touching it, it's not going to do anything because it's a chatzi zayis. But remember, we're talking about the case now of two chatzi zayisim on the hide. So touching it, nothing's going to happen. But carrying it, you're going to be tummy. Why? So, as we explained, because when you end up carrying it, you ultimately will be carrying a full kezias. Okay, so now the Gemara qualifies. This is true, lo shanu ela me'achorav. This is only going to be true if you're touching it from the back, where you didn't touch the actual meat itself, but you just simply touched the hide. Okay, and at this point in time, we're going to assume that the hide is neither. It's neither a yad, nor is it a shomer. Okay, fine. Wait. Aval mulafanav yesh nogea v'chozer v'nogea. But if I go to the front of the hide, meaning the piece, the side where there's meat, and I touch a chatzizayas, and then I touch the other chatzizayas, so Rabbi Shmuel would tell you in that case your tummy, because ultimately you touch two half kezesim. Okay. Rav Yochanan says, no, that's not how it works. There's no such thing as a double contact, meaning either you touched a full kezias at once or you didn't, and there's no repeat performance, so to say. In fact, Rav Yochanan says, look, I'm going to string together two Tanaim who are basically saying the same thing, which is two halves do not make a whole. Not in the world of contact, and as we'll see in just a moment, not in the world of ohel as well.
One after the other at the same time. It doesn't matter.
Let's assume it's one after the other, right? The language of the Gemara sounds like it's one after the other, right? Rabbi Shmuel Hadamaran. So the Gemara says, "Look, Rabbi Shmuel, we just said over, meaning that according to Rabbi Shmuel, I touch even if I touch them consecutively, I will not become tamei." Because I did not touch a full kezias. Now, as far as Rav Dosa ben Horkinus, so it's a Mishnah, did none. Kol metamim ba'ol shenechluku v'yechnesen l'soch habayis. Rav Dosa ben Horkinus metaher v'chachamim mitamim. So, We have a Mishnah in Oalos, and the Mishnah basically says over the following, that if I have a kezayis of mace, and I break up the kezayis into two half kezayisim, this is, we're talking about human remains, and the amount of human remain you need in order to give off tumas ohel is a full kezayis. And you take that full kezayis, and you divide it into two, and you bring it into the house. So Rav Dosa says, tahor. The house is tahor. Why? Because you don't have sufficient. Even though the aggregate total of the two half will be a whole, doesn't matter. You need a whole. You need a whole kezayis. And the Chachamim say the house is tameh. So Lav Amar Rav Dosa ben Horkan is awesome. Ein ma'al v'chozer ma'al hachanami. Ein ogea v'chozer v'nogea. So the Gemara says, so good. So what comes out is that that's exactly the point of Rav Dosa ben Horkanus, that the two halves do not combine to make a whole. Here too, Rabbi Shmuel, same story. Different transmission of Tumah, but same underlying principle. Ein chozer. In other words, if I touch a half and then I touch another half, the two do not combine to make a whole. Umid Rav Dosa ben Horkanus ka Rabbi Shmuel. Now, the Gemara says, now that we're making alignment between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Oalos, so what should come out now is that just like we've lined up Rav Dosa ben Horkanus and Rabbi Shmuel, so where should the other alignment go? That should mean that the Chachamim file like Rabbi Akiva. Meaning, huh?
Rabbi Akiva also agrees
to the
two halves.
Right. Vaha Rabbi Akiva, Tahari Kamitahir. And so, but that's a problem because in Oalos, the Chachamim say the two halves equal a whole. And in Chul, in ninth Perek, Rabbi Akiva says the two halves do not equal a whole. We'll see. The Gemara is going to go the other way. But essentially, the Gemara will distinguish. So lo kamita. I'm sorry. So ad kan lo kamita. Rabbi Akiva ela ba'or avaba amamitame. So the Gemara says here. This our Mishnah Chulin is really the exception. Meaning, Rabbi Akiva fundamentally agrees with the Chachamim. Two halves equal a whole. And that's true with mace. If I have two halves of the mace, that's going to equal the whole. Here is the exception to the rule. The two halves are not going to equal the whole. But here it's different. Why? Because look at our Mishnah. What did Rabbi Akiva say? I admit that if you take the two halves of a kezayis and you put it on a toothpick and you pick it up, you're going to be tame. You picked up a full kezayis. Okay, so Rabbi Akiva matar or mevatlan, and the only reason why the hide he disagrees in that case is because the or is mevatel, the hide nullified. Meaning, when I flayed off the hide, I was basically saying to myself, whatever meat is on it, I'm not interested in that meat. Don't care about that meat, and that's why the two halves do not equal a whole, having nothing to do with the basic principle that two halves equal a whole. No, he agrees to that. Two halves equal a whole. In this case, it's a function of it being connected to the or, and the or is mevato. Good. Okay? Basic machlokus in our Gemara between Rav Ada and Rav Yochanan. What if I touch the two halves one after the other? So Rav Ada says you're going to be tame, and Rav Yochanan says you're not going to be tame. Mesiv Rav Ukva Bar Chama. So the Gemara asks the following question. B'nivla sam v'lo b'or sheish lav beis chatzei zesim. So, the nivla san means you have to touch the carcass, meaning the flesh. V'lo b'or sheish lav beis chatzei zesim. But if you touch hide with two half kezesim, you're not. Yachol af b'masa. Well, what if I carry that hide that has two half kezesim? Tamalam Ravano say yitma div Rav Yishmael. So Rav Yishmael says, no, if you carry it, you're going to be tamei. Good. This is a braisa. It's the exact same thing as our Mishnah. It's just that the difference being here is bouncing off the pasuk in our Mishnah. It's just simply said as a halacha. But it's the same idea. Rabbi Akiva Omer, hanogea vehanose. Eshe balachla maga balachla masa. Lo balachla maga, lo balachla masa. And now we get a phenomenal insight into Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says that the tumah transmission of carrying and the tumah transmission of touching are actually related. They're correlated.
They go together.
Right. They go together. If I can become tummy through contact, I'll become tummy through carrying. And if I will not become tummy through contact, I will not become tummy through carrying. So you and I always thought that there are two different ways of transmission of tumah. Of course they are. But they're related with one another. If there's one, there's the other. And if there's not one, there's not the other. Okay.
What about this
Ormavatl thing? Ah, v'im isa hare balach lamaga milafanav. So now, let's think about Rav Pada for just a moment, because Rav Pada says that this halacha of Rabbi Yishmael, that if I touch, I not tameh, that's only if I touch the back of the hide. But if I flip it over, and I touch the front of the hide, and I touch this half kezias, and I touch this half kezias, I will be tameh. So you see that the... True, but you at least see that there is availability to become tameh with tumas maga. So, if there is availability for tumas maga, there should be availability for tumas masa. So, amarava achikam, aisha balach lamaga bechol tzad, balach lamasa, lo balach lamaga bechol tzad, lo balach lamasa. So, the Gemara's defense over here is very simple. Look, Bar Pada could be right. He could be. Okay? We're not going to take a side on that issue. But let's just assume for now that he is correct. That if I touch the actual two halves themselves, I'll become tamei. So then why doesn't Rabbi Akiva say, oh, okay, fine, so if you become tamei through maga, you'll become tamei through masa, because the correlation to Rabbi Akiva is unilateral, meaning if you're tamei through maga, and that means any form of maga, if I touch it from the front, if I touch it from the back, if I touch the hide, if I become tamei through maga, then I'll extend and I'll say, I'll become tamei through masa. But if my Tuma Maga is limited, and in this case, according to Bar Pada, it is limited, because I'm only going to become Tameh if I touch it from the front side, not if I touch it from the back side, from the side of the hide. It's a limited Tuma, so then Rabbi Akiva is not forced to say, oh, there's Maga, so therefore there's Masa. Not necessary. Ba'mine Rav Avya Sava Me Rabba Bar Ravuna. Kula Stumala Rabbi Shema Maushe Tatameh. Okay. So now, the Gemara says, I have the following question. What do we see that according to Rabbi Yishmael, right, the two are not necessarily correlated? Meaning Rabbi Akiva believes in this correlation. If there's maga, there's masa. If there's no maga, there's no masa. Right? That's the Rabbi Akiva correlation. And Rabbi Yishmael has demonstrated to us that he doesn't necessarily believe in this correlation. Seemingly. Meaning that we have a scenario where I have two half kazesim attached to a hide. So I'll touch the hide. I'm not going to become Tameh. I'll carry the hide, according to Rabbi Yishmael. I will be Tameh. So it seems that, according to Rabbi Yishmael, there's a separation. Meaning, there could be a case of Masa without Maga. Is this position of Rabbi Yishmael, is this a fundamental position? Meaning, what if we take it to the extreme? What if there's simply no way that the person can become Tameh with Maga? Would he become Tameh with Masa? Let's illustrate this question with the following example. Kulistuma la Rabbi Yishmael. Let's say I have the following. Let's say I have a nice, thick bone. Let's talk about the femur bone. Okay? Femur bone is nice and big, right? Largest bone in the human body. I mean, we're talking about animals over here, but, okay. And, of course, it's nice and hollow, and there's marrow running through it. Okay. Marrow is meat. For all those people who don't enjoy marrow bones in their cholent, okay, you're missing out in life. Okay, and I'm just saying. So the so marrow is meat, and so now let's envision that we are dealing with a marrow bone that's totally encased, totally enclosed. The marrow bone is not broken. The bone is not broken. So in other words, you have a nice amount of marrow inside the bone. So here you have a scenario where there's a bone totally clean on the surface, no meat on the surface, but encasing a lot of marrow inside. Okay. Is there any way for me to touch the marrow? And the answer is currently no. No.
It's, so you have the bone is whole. It's not been chopped in any level.
Right. The bone is totally intact. And so right now, there's no way for me to touch the actual marrow inside, as it's being protected by the bone. Good. Now I pick up the bone.
But is that a shomer, though? I mean, isn't it considered a shomer? Isn't a bone considered a shomer for the marrow?
Rashi says no.
But why? Isn't it part and parcel of the whole unit? All that?
Where's the Rashi? Rashi's coming up later on. It's the Rashi. It's the Rashi coming up on Kuf Chav Hey. Rashi. I'll just read it quickly right now. It's the second Rashi on Kuf Chav Hey. The Avagav Deshama Machnas Amotzi Tuma Hani Mila B'Davishe Efsha Liga B'Tuma Atzma V'Afilo Nagaba Ela B'Shomer. Rashi provides the answer to your question. It's a chiddush, but you got to say something. Rashi says that something only acts as a shomer if you could somehow make contact with the food. However, if there's no way that you can actually touch the food itself, the source of tumah, the shomer is not going to be a conduit. Yeah, the orange peel, right. I was thinking, it's so funny, you read my mind. I was thinking about that. And also, based on that Rashi, my orange peel example may not be a good example. Well, the hide, because he chopped up the animal, and the hide is just on one area of the hide. I guess that's how Rashi would envision it. Okay, a lot to think about. Okay, really a lot to think about. But in the meantime, though, let's just focus on this point over here. So the Gemara is asking, according to Rabbi Yishmael, he separates Maga and Masa. What if there's no possibility of Maga? Okay, like marrow in the bone. Maushu Tatame. So now, and I pick up the bone. Would Rabbi Yishmael say in this case, look, I know there's no chance for Maga, because the marrow is totally encased by the bone, but I picked it up. And so now I'm picking up the marrow. Not touching it, but picking it up. Even though we're talking about a scenario where there's no way I could touch the marrow. So Shetatami Islul Rabbi Shmal Chabalaklamaga Balaklamasa Lobalaklamag Lobalaklamasa Vahacha Hainatami Mishum Daba Lichlamaga Mlafanov Odilma Lethle. So is it that in our case, meaning in the two half kazesim on the hide, is it Rabbi Shmuel believes that when you pick it up, you'll be tame? Why? Because at least there is some form of Nigiyah. Not by touching the hide, but by touching the two pieces of meat. Or does Rabbi Yishmael just simply separate? He just totally divides. And Rabbi Yishmael says, look, even in the place where there's no maga, and there can't be maga, I'm still going to tell you that if you pick the meat up, if you pick up the nevela, there's masa. So Amrlei, okay, now this is a question that's posed. It was posed, the questioner, we don't know. The one who was being questioned was Rav Avya Saba. Oh, no, I'm sorry. No, the question was posed from Rav Abba Rav Huna. So, Amar Le Urva Poreach, look at the raven flying over there in the air. Meaning, as Rashi explains, let's talk about something else. Which is how often I feel. Let's talk about something else. Meaning, I don't know the answer. So, Idoma Urva Poreach. Amar Le Rav Abba Berei. So, so Rabbi, his son, says, I don't understand. You just asked a question from Avya Saba. You know, we used to often say that Gavi Rabbi, this man's the great man, and you ask him a question. Now, granted, it was a good question. Granted, it's a hard question. But you said he was a great man. So, Amale Ani Hayom Samchuni Ba'ashishas. The Gemara uses this expression every now and then. Today, I'm like in a total fog. I'm worn down today. Right now, I do not have the capacity to think. That is a thought-provoking question. I do not have the capacity to think. I feel like that also very often. And you're asking me something that needs thought, that needs an explanation, and right now I just simply don't have it. Amar Ula. So,
resolve that issue, the whole discussion between carrying and touching.
Right, meaning, and it really is, by the way, it's a very, very concentrated question, because it's a question within Rabbi Yishmael, meaning we don't even pass like Rabbi Yishmael, but within Rabbi Yishmael, does he totally separate Maga from Masa, or no, is there still some relationship between the two? And yes, it's true, the Gemara does not resolve that issue. Essentially, I mean, what the Gemara is trying to explore over here is that this transmission of carrying, it could be just, carrying is really just a subcategory of touching. Right? That's essentially what the Gemara is exploring over here. That there cannot exist, again, the Gemara didn't resolve the issue, but in terms of how to think about it, in terms of lamdas, there cannot exist a category of carrying if there's no category of touching. Carrying is just a further form of touching something. I know you're not physically touching it.
You could be touching it indirectly, though.
Correct, correct. It's an indirect handling of it.
Well, the Homer is also saying that if everybody's agreed that carrying is makes the person tame.
Right.
So then definitely...
I'll put it this way. From Rabbi Akiva, you see that this is absolutely correct. Because that's exactly what Rabbi Akiva is saying. Rabbi Akiva is saying is that if there's no maga, if there's no contact, we can't have a conversation of masa. A conversation of masa only begins when there's maga. So in other words, from Rabbi Akiva's standpoint, correct. Maga is really a subcategory of masa. Just a way to help us think about how all this works. Amar Ula, Shnei Chatzei Zesim Shetachvam B'Kisim. If I have two half kezesim that I put on a toothpick, Afilu Molech Umevi Kol Hayom Kulo Tahor. Even if I carry the whole day, I'm going to be tahor. My time exiven asa v'karina nosei beina nosei v'hu din nisa b'vas achas. The two have to be together. Okay, this is the Chiddush of Ula, that it's not enough for the two pieces of meat to just simply be stuck on a toothpick. They have to be clung together. The obvious question, which the Gemara...
Is that the yad that connects it to?
Well,
the toothpick is the yad that connects it. And intentionally put it there, you're meant to connect it to.
Okay, not only that, okay, and the Gemara is going to... I mean, maybe that's exactly what the Gemara is asking, but Gemara says, Tanan, hayu alav shnei chatzei zeisim etame b'masa v'la b'maga divrei Rav Yishmael. So the Gemara starts off with a really simple question against Ula, and that is, go back to our Mishnah. Our Mishnah says that that if you have two half kezesim, it's tamei. So amai v'halav nisahu. So the Gemara says, yeah, but they're not together. Amar Papa b'merudad. So Rav Papa says, yes, they are. Meaning they're two half kezesim, and they are stuck together through a thin piece of meat. They're mechaber. In other words, that thin piece of meat actually connects the two. Tashma modi Rabbi Akiva b'shnei chatzei zeisim shetachman b'kisim v'hisitim shu tamei amai v'halav nisehu. The Gemara is going to go through the same give and take based on the statement of Rabbi Akiva. Quite frankly, do not know what the Gemara is now adding to our understanding, because the Gemara is going to of course go back to the same answer. Hachanami b'merudad. And the Gemara says no merudad, meaning that when the two pieces are connected through a thin sliver of meat, that's the case, and that's only the case where Rabbi Akiva says, by picking it up, you're going to be tamei. Kitanai, the Gemara notes that this is subject to a machlokas tanai, mecha noge, vecha namesit, Rabbi Lazar omer afhanoseya, afhanoseya. The Tanakhama says, if you touch or if you move it. And Rabbi Eliezer says, no, even if you carry it. Now, as presented to us, this brace, of course, makes no sense. Atu nosei lav mesit, carrying, moving, really the same thing. El alav hachi kamar. So the Gemara says, this is how we're going to understand the Braisa. Echan hanogev, echan hamesit, below nisa. If you touch or if you move it, even though the two pieces are not touching one another, v'asa Rabbi Lazar lameimar v'hu denisa, my af ema v'hu denisa. Take out the word af from the Braisa. The Braisa really needs a lot of massaging. And it's v'hu denisa, meaning Rabbi Eliezer is telling you only when the two pieces are connected, then and only then, picking up the two pieces is going to convey tuma. Okay. Bottom line, look, on this issue, Rabbi Akiva, meaning the machlokas in the Mishnah between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Akiva, is the accepted position, meaning if there is no maga, there's no masa. And over here, the two chatzisim that are on the hide, since I do not become tamid through Tumas Maga, I additionally do not become tamid through Tumas Masa as well. But remember, though, the basis of Rabbi Akiva in this case is based on the fact that ha'or mevatlan, the hide is mevato. But if I had the two pieces together on a toothpick, so then Rabbi Akiva says you are going to become tamid. Okay. But there, idol worship gives off Oh, in other words, there's no. I assume there's both. I assume there's maga and there's masa. Again,
well, it says that if somebody carries.
Yeah, but you're going to have to assume there's also maga as well. Meaning, the way we're going to understand it now, masa is really just a subcategory of maga.
Carrying by itself, if you didn't touch it, it's not.
Right. There's no masa without maga. I mean, that's essentially less than one from today. Okay, next Mishnah. Kulas ha-meis v'kulas ha-mukdashim ha-nogei b'hem bein stumim bein ikuvim tamei. Okay, we're going to go now deep into the world of Tum and Tahara, and we start off with the following Mishnah and the following halacha. The kulas ha-meis, the first case of this Mishnah, we're talking about human remains. Okay, femur of a human. And the Mishnah says that if you touch it, whether it's perforated, whether it's not perforated, you're tamei. Okay, now.
But this contradicts that other.
Just wait. All this is going to be discussed, and it's true also regarding a femur of a carbon, right? Kulas hamukdashim. It's a funny way to string two different discussions, but the halacha is exactly the same. That if you touch the femur of a carbon, you're going to be tamei as well. Now, femur of a human, we understand, gives off tumah. Femur of a carbon gives off tuma. Take a look at the top Rashi. Kulas hamukdashim b'maseches pesachim tanan pigol noser mitamin es hayadayim digazer b'hu rabbanim mishum chashe kuhuna va'atzle kuhuna. Okay, it is a rabbinic tuma on a carbon that becomes disqualified. Now, carbon that becomes disqualified is not tame. The Torah never tells us that it's tame. In fact, the Torah tells us you have to destroy it. Noser, for example, perfect example. You burn it in a fire, right? Any carbon that becomes nosar. Not, of course, the bones are not subject to nosar. We're talking strictly about the meat. The Chachamim came along and the Chachamim said, I'm worried. The Kohanim, sometimes they can get a little lazy. Now, I know this contradicts the basic idea of Kohanim Zrizim.
Right.
So there is an ambiguity for sure. It's pretty self-evident about how we relate to the Kohanim, whether they're Zrizim or whether they're, as the Gemara over here says, Rashi over here says, Atzlanim, whether they're lazy. Can you be both? I don't think so. Anyway, I understand. It's an issue. But the Chachamim said that if we have no sir, to try to motivate the Kohanim to get rid of it right away, so we said that no sir gives off tumma. So if you're a Kohen and you touch Noser, you're going to become Tamei, albeit you'll only be Tamei Derabanan, but doesn't matter. The point of the Mishnah is still the same. If you have marrow in a bone, even if it's totally encased in the bone, it does not give off Tumah.
But I thought there was no Gezerah in the Tamei difference.
Don't say no Gezerah. Just say mostly. Okay, fine. Good. Problem solved. So the Kulis HaMukdash HaNageh Behen Bein Stumim Behen Nekuvim Tamei. Kulis Nevela V'Kulis HaSheretz. Now, if you have the bone of a nevela and the bone of a sheretz, yeah, so after we became a little more familiar with what shratzim are, I know your slug is not going to have bones. But, huh?
Your hedgehog,
your mole, so they're going to have bones. So we're now talking about the bones of these. Hanogeh behem stumim tahorim nekuvim kol shehu metame b'maga. So if it is encased, it's not going to give off tuma. If, however, it's perforated, even if it's a small perforation, it's going to give off tumas maga. Minayin she'af b'masa. How about carrying tamalam anogev anosei esha balechla maga balechla masa lo balechla maga lo balechla masa. Masa is just an extension of maga, right? What you're hearing is basically the Rabbi Kiva of the previous Mishnah, that really maga is masa. Excellent question. So now let's just do the first discussion of the Gemara. Nogea in avamal lo. So look, let's zoom in on that first two words of the Mishnah. Kulas ha-meis, we're talking about the femur bone of a human, right? Human remains, and we're talking about the femur bone. So now, if you touch it, you're tame, but there's no tumas ohel, right? Meaning you now have,
unless they're in a coffin or they're.
So you now have human remains. And remember, a kezias of mace, meaning flesh, will give off tumas maga, tumas masa, and tumas ohel. So heichidami idi ika kazayis baser ba'ol nami l'tame. And the Gemara says, now think about it. You need a kazayis of mace. We're talking about the femur bone. So the Gemara assumes there is a kazayis of marrow inside. And if there isn't, meaning it's an old bone, it's a dried up bone, and I'm sorry, l'tame deleka kazayis baser. So the Gemara says, well, we must be talking about a case where there isn't a kazayis of baser. The idi ika kazayis moach mibifnim tomam bokas va'olam. And I'm sorry, the Gemara first was addressing the flesh on the bone. And the Gemara says there isn't a kazayis. So the Gemara says, what about the moach inside? What about the marrow inside? And you know, the marrow inside is going to just basically go right, the tumah is going to go right through the encasing of the bone. So ba'ol nami l'tami d'leka kazayis moach bifnim. So the Gemara says, okay, there's not a kazayis of moach inside. V'imoch mi bifnim ma'ala aruka mi b'chutz ever ma'al yahi. The Gemara says, what about the fact that the bone is able to regenerate? Now, this is a concept. I'm not sure if I'm going to adequately explain it, but basically, if there's a little bit of marrow inside, even if it's not a kazayas, but as long as this limb could regenerate. Now, right now, nothing's going to happen, meaning we're talking about the limb being dead and the person being dead, but had that limb been attached to a live person, it would have regenerated, so that's still fundamentally called a limb, and it's still going to give off tumas ha'ol. Amar Rav Yehuda b'Rei d'Rabbi Chiya Zos Ameris, moch mibifnim, eina male aruka mibachutz. So the Gemara says, okay, so you know what you see over here? That if all you have is just marrow bone inside, but you have no flesh on the outside, there will be no regeneration, it's not considered a limb. So right now, essentially, the way we're explaining our Mishnah is, our Mishnah is talking about a femur bone with no meat on the outside and not even a kazayas of meat on the inside. So the Gemara says, and well, this will end today. So b'mayu kimta deleka kazayas yihachi b'mukdash ma'amai metame. So the Gemara says, now, it's very strange because you go to the next case of the Mishnah and we're talking about the femur bone of a karban. Now there, it says, if you touch yil b'tame, we have to be talking about where there's a kazayas. If there's no kazayas, so how are you going to be tame? You don't become tummy by touching a bone of an animal. V'su kulis nevela, v'kulis hasheretz ki nikvu amay metame. I'm sorry, and also the bone of the sheretz, the bone of a nevela. If there's not a kazayis, how are you going to become tummy? So halakasha reisha deleka kazayis sefadika kazayis. So the Gemara answers very simply: when you learn the Mishnah, you're going to have to segment the Mishnah. The case of the human bone, there's not a kazayis. The case of the bone of hekdesh, there is a kazayis. The case of the bone of nevela, there is a kazayis. Now, you know, generally we don't like doing that. We don't like looking at one Mishnah and segmenting the Mishnah. Oh my kamashmalan, mili mili kamashmalan. And the Gemara says that the Mishnah is there to teach us point by point. Reish kamashmalan democh mi befnim enamala ruka. So the first point of the Mishnah is that marrow inside a bone does not cause regeneration of the bone, does not cause regeneration of the limb. Therefore, it's just a bone. Aruka mibachutz and mukdash mekamashmalan shimush nosar milsehi. Now, as far as the bone of a karban, it's coming to tell us that shimush nosar. In other words, it's holding the nosar inside. The marrow inside is nosar. The bone that's holding nosar is significant. The Amar Mari Baravu Amar Rav Yisak Atzmos Kachem Shishim Shinosar Mitamim Es Heyadaim Holvanas Basus Ladavar HaAser. And finally, the third point that the Mishnah is teaching us: Nevela Afagav Deika Kazayis Nikve In Lo Nikve Lo. And when it comes to a Nevela, there may be a Kazayis inside of marrow, but you're only going to be Tameh if it's perforated. If it's not perforated, it's not going to be tame. Why? Because you need to actually touch the marrow inside. And again, according to Rabbi Akiva, now that there's no negia, there's also not going to be masa as well. Okay? That's the first approach in terms of how we're going to learn the Mishnah. Some of the Mishnah, meaning the first case of the Mishnah is where there isn't a kazayis, and the rest of the Mishnah is where there is a kazayis, and each point of the Mishnah is coming to tell us a chiddush in various areas of Tumah. Okay? Tomorrow we'll have a second approach entirely to the Mishnah. Okay, stay tuned. Okay, more tomorrow, dealing with short daffin. So hopefully we'll make a chance to get back to where we need to be. In the meantime, enjoy tum and tahara.